all right, if I don't do this right now, I will forget. So the older kids are staying in here, but 2 and 3 year olds, you can, if you want, you can go downstairs and run the teacher ragged, or no, don't run Viola ragged. I'm just playing. So today, Broken Walls was scheduled to be here for the whole service, and God had a different plan. I know, right? I didn't think you probably knew, but God had a different plan, and but I want to share a couple things with you about this really quickly, because we've been in relationship with Broken Walls for a number of years, and we honor the ministry. We honor the ministry of Carry the Cure that Bill Pagran does, and so we had a leadership meeting last week, and we recognized the enemy's plan to try to keep finances out of the hands of ministries that are traveling all over the world, especially right now, and so we decided to come against that and send an honorarium to Jonathan Miracle anyway. And I then invited Bill Pagran, who's also part of Broken Walls, and he's the head of Carry the Cure. And I asked him to come and speak because I want to sow into him as well. I just want to pound the enemy in the head a few times. You know, you want to come at us, we're going to come back at you twice as hard. And so, the enemy has been stirring up all kinds of weird and crazy stuff over the last couple of weeks. But I love what Ben had just said about where our focus is. Are we focused on the havoc and the chaos, or are we focused on the one who says peace, victory, you know? So I didn't come here to preach today, but I do want to say this. Bill Pagran is not only a friend of this house, he's a personal friend of mine, and his wife Amanda is here, and if you haven't ever met her, you need to. Your life will never be the same again. Really, I love this family. I love these guys. I've known them for at least 20 years, and seen just amazing fruit in their lives, in their children. I don't recognize Rain anymore, but their son. And so we have a video to play. Or is this what you want right now? Are we good with that? Okay. So this will help you to know a little bit more about Carry the Cure. We sow as a house into Carry the Cure. We sow into the Iditarod ministry that they do. And so he's going to share a little bit about that so he doesn't have to share this much. He condensed it. Also, I want you to know that I know that this is very different. So time-wise, just take whatever time you thought you were going to get out of here today, and don't worry about it. We'll be okay. Right? Like, nothing says we got to be out at this time or that time. So let's have grace. So, Bill, I don't want you to feel pressure to feel like, oh, gosh, I got 30 minutes. You got an hour. You got whatever you need. So, okay? All right. Go ahead.
In 1925, there was an epidemic of diphtheria that threatened to wipe out Western Alaska. And they developed this serum, but the only way to get it to them was by brave dog mushers who raced across Western Alaska to Nome, and they did that successfully. The cure is the gospel of Jesus Christ, so we need to carry the cure to the villages of Alaska. My heart is for a healed Alaska, and I believe that that's possible. And if we carry the love of Jesus, then I believe we can reverse the negative statistics in Alaska, and we can see life rise up in the young people. as we go with Carry the Cure, we go carrying the love and with a desire to see a great conversion take place, a great conversion of the heart. And I'm really starting to see a marked difference in the children and the adults. I'm starting to see joy return into their spirit.
I hear a lot of young people here in our community talk about wanting to kill themselves, wanting to end their life because they feel like they have nothing. And I'm so glad I saw one of the students that were feeling that. And he was here, and that was so uplifting. He walked out, looked like, with a big smile.
You don't see too many of our youth coming to church. But when this came to our community today, the music, all of that drew them in, and they were intrigued by that, I know, but the message that was given about what Christ can do, I see the future of our youth. It's just gotten brighter here. I know that much.
Given that personal testimony, seeing where people have been and where they've come from and where they're at now and how they're living for the Lord and they're excited about life, I think really has an impact on a lot of kids and a lot of adults. And we see that every year on the trip as people come forward and accept the Lord into their hearts.
It was so high energy that it kept every student from kindergarten through 12th grade riveted on what was being said.
They were glued to what was being said, what was being sung, all the instruments. It was just a great experience.
I saw the community coming together in dance and celebration, which was a big encouragement. The program was very passionate.
It gives the kids, especially, hope for a brighter future. And I just thank Lord once again that you are here.
Hey, what's the E.T.? Yachicha Iwasani. You got Juan. Yeah, right. So I just said in Klingit, I said, what's up? I said, it's good that you are here today. This is the right place to be, the right time. Despite what, anything else that's going on, this is the place to be, in his presence, with his people. Amen. I said, you got a kwan, that means keep your head up. There's much to live for. Amen. There's never, ever, ever, say never,
never.
Ever, been a better time than now to share hope. And of course, I'm here at Bridge of Hope, and I love that, you know, because you are a people filled with his presence, filled with his goodness, filled with his hope that doesn't disappoint in any and every circumstance. You have that in you. I'm going to call that out. If you don't know that, I'm calling that out in you right now in Jesus' name. And I just want to start by saying thank you, Zach, and thank you, church. And thank you, Annie and worship team. You know, I threw that song on them at the last minute, you know, Sea of Victory. I mean, you can't make this stuff up, right? It's only by Holy Spirit. And I just really felt like we needed to sing and declare that song. And so the worship team, last minute, you know, spur of the moment, you know how awesome they are, you know, they just like threw it together, and it's better than I could have imagined. It's more timely, that word, than I could have even imagined. But I'm so thankful for you, Zach, and Sage, and this church, because you have stirred me, you have encouraged me. I mean, when the fire is just kind of like, you know, waning down or something, you guys are able to speak a life that blows, the wind of the Spirit just blows on it, you know, and then I get fired up all again, you know, all over again and again and again and again. I love partnering with this church. I love the realness that this church has. I love the way that you guys operate. I mean, what other church would put a sign on their, where are we? Over here. On their own church for another church. Yeah, that one. I don't know. Come on. What kind of people do that? You guys do that. Because you're not threatened. It's not a competition. It's about heaven coming down to earth and us getting caught in the smack of it. And I love your heart for that. That you're willing to use your building even in that way. God is going to reward you abundantly. You know, the things that you've been dreaming and praying and contending for, even before you even prayed, the answer's on the way. But I feel this season of fast forward where God is bringing the fulfillment of his promises to this house. This is a season. This is a time. This is a moment. And when you learn how to stand like you just did in the midst of the enemy, when you learn how to declare God's goodness and his victory in that place, wow! Man, the world, the darkness, the fear, it trembles. It totally trembles. You know, when we were singing that song, I could just feel the presence of God swirling around, and I could just feel God hovering. I could just hear the voice of the Lord saying, I am searching across this congregation. I am searching for every man, woman, boy, and girl at Bridge of Hope. My eyes are searching, and I want to rest them upon them. And I want to fill them. I want to strengthen them. And then the question was, will you let me? And it was pretty obvious. I mean, I kind of have an eye for the obvious a lot of times. Just how you responded in the midst of chaos. How you responded in the midst of challenges. But as I was thinking about the worship in this time, I just felt like, man, some of you are caught in this whirlwind of God. You're just like right in the middle of it. Some of you got swept up into it. And some of you are still watching. But all it takes is one little step. One little step, and you're in it. God plays no favorites. He wants us all in the midst of his presence so that we can all know that we know that we know that we have all that we need no matter what happens in this world. The world's dark. There's a lot of evil happening. But when we know who we are, when we know whose we are, man, hell starts to shake. The devil starts to shake in his boots, man. And that's what's happening right here, right now, today. I want to attempt to share what I was going to share, but it was all designed of the Lord. I really had this message in my heart, and I was trying to do something else back. I really was. I was like, man, I think I need to, I was open to whatever the Spirit of the Lord had to say, but he kept bringing me back to this word. And then after I heard and seen what happened this morning, it's like, there you go. This is why. So just know that the Lord knows. He directs us. And this word, I believe, it's not far off the path. In fact, it's right on track with what I believe God wants to speak into your hearts in this situation, in this time. Before we do that, all that was for free. But I just couldn't help it, and you guys are just like that. And I really do feel like family here. You guys have tolerated me, put up with me for so many years. And I am very grateful that you've accepted me the way that I am. And so thank you for that. I wanted to thank you for your investment in Carry the Cure and in Broken Walls. And I, as I made that statement earlier, there's never been a better time than now to share hope. So I wanted to share about what you guys sown into. And of course, you send Josh Moss, he's been on almost every Iditarod outreach. This year we actually canceled the Iditarod outreach. Schools are closed. Villages were still closed. But, I just felt this word of the Lord, and I said, this is the time. People are hurting, and I started calling around, and I talked to the whole, I ended up in a Zoom call with the whole tribal council of Good News Bay. Isn't that a cool name? Good News Bay, the village of Good News Bay, and they said, Bill, I don't know how we can get you guys here. The schools are closed. This is happening. But they said that we lost more people to suicide than COVID. Please, please come. So our response was, yes, we're going to do it. But the enemy tried to come in. Then, we usually take two planes and, you know, we pack it with 2,000 pounds of gear. We have a team of about 12, 14, including the pilots. And two of our pilots got COVID just like a couple of days before we were to leave. And it's like, what? No. And so, you know, with a lot of counseling and talking with the Mark Aviation, I actually canceled the trip. And then the Lord just kept saying, you can't do it. There are people that need hope. And so I called Mark Aviation back and I said, is there anything we can do? So long story short, they ended up pulling some guys out of retirement to fly planes. I mean, they still had their license. They were still able to. It was still safe, okay? We made it there and back. But the amazing thing is that there was such a hunger this year on the Iditarod outreach. We saw, like we always see, hundreds responding to the gospel. But here is the cool thing. Here's the amazing thing. Here is the unique thing. Couple of unique things. But about this year, one was that God was moving on leaders. We saw the psychologist of the school. We saw teachers. We saw the VSPO of the villages. We saw adults and leaders getting rocked by God, seriously, like impacted by the gospel in a way I've never seen on the Iditarod outreach. And of course, we saw tons of young people from 4 to, you know, 84, whatever, you know, because like it's cool when you see like an 84-year-old have a revelation that Jesus loves them, and they start dancing like a teenager. It's really cool. And that happens quite often when we go out. So anyway, I want to thank you. This year, also, my son, Rain, it was his first year. You can see him in that top corner right picture there. He got to travel with me, and he played keyboards. It was really cool. And it was different because Broken Walls wasn't able to come on this year's Iditarod. And music is really a core part of our presentation. So I got this guy, Levi Platero. He's a world-class blues guitarist. I know you're thinking, blues? Blues? How are you going to share the gospel with blues? But why should the devil have all the good music? Right? Jesus is the rock that rolled my blues away, right? But it was cool. This guy is a world-class guitarist. His last gig before COVID was at the Hard Rock Cafe in Las Vegas. And he's just he rips and shreds and tears it up, and he does have a heart for God. And it was so cool to see that team come together. So thank you so much for supporting that, like always. Cool thing. Another cool thing. Oh, gosh. I mean, there's so many things. I know I need to move on. But, I mean, the Spirit was so thick on our second day that we had a line of women on one side and men on the other, and it literally went from the front all the way out the back of the church. People were that hungry for God and to get prayed for. And it was so beautiful to see that happen. And one of the villages we're going to be going back to, Good News Bay, actually, and they don't have, like, anyway, we're going to go back for like a baptism party. These guys don't get water baptized until now. You know, it's like they really wanted to do that. So I've been in contact with their lay leader. They don't even have a pastor there. But thank you, thank you, thank you. God is moving in incredible ways through your prayers, through your giving. So I just wanted to share that. Okay, so let's go ahead and move on, see what else we got here. You know, we've been keeping really busy as Carry the Cure. Now, Broken Wall, sadly, I was going to make this big deal out of this. I was going to say, it's been 526 days since Broken Walls has played and ministered together. Well, I guess that number is going to increase, hopefully, not too much more. But, thank you for loving and honoring Jonathan and Broken Walls, guys. But, you know, what I've been doing is I've been training different teams that come to Alaska, the Praying Pelicans, YWAM teams, people that have come to serve, even a Catholic group that was like they came to support the Catholic camp in the valley. So I take them up the mountain, you know, make them cry. I mean, make them sweat and hurt. And, you know, we get to the top of the mountain. And I love taking them up Bear Mountain because, you know, if that's a good one. You know, if you're not used to hiking, you can feel that one pretty good. And anyway, I've been doing that. I played for Sean Foyt's Lettuce Worship in Anchorage and in the valley. It was amazing. How many of you were there at that? A lot of you were there. God moved in powerful ways. I mean, salvation, baptism, people getting free. People like getting so free that they're willing to throw their drugs and paraphernalia and stuff right on the platform. And say, man, I'm tired of this way of life. I want to be free. And anyway, it's really cool. That was cool. I do a Rhythms of Life Moments weekly podcast, and that is on the radio in several different villages, several different radio stations since COVID. That's one of the things that I've been doing. I do mountaintop prayers. Some of you probably see that. So I just admit as often as I can, you know, do that. And then village trips. We have another one coming up on the North Slope. We're going to visit several villages. Valley Pastors Prayer Network, local ministry. Anyway, thank you. I mean, your prayers and, of course, you know, your encouragement and support helps us to continue to do that because, like I said, God is moving in and among us. And there has never been a, this is not the time to throw in the towel, to give up, you know, to slow down. We are warriors. Not warriors, right? Here's an opportunity for you. On Monday, September 20th, I do a, when I go to communities, I often offer this workshop called Question, Persuade, Refer. What that does is a gatekeeper training. And what that means is that you are the gatekeeper. You are that gate of hope to the community, whether it's in your public place, you know, whether your work, school, business, whatever. And, of course, the church. But this teaches you to watch out for the warning signs of suicide. It teaches you how to persuade people to live and helps you to refer them to the right resources in your community. It's about a 45-minute to an hour-long session, and the only cost is $5 because you get a booklet when you go to the workshop, and pretty much everything that I share in that workshop is in the booklet. Okay, I'm pretty much, I get the opening and the closing, but everything else I pretty much need to stick to the book. And it also has a card that you can write the local resources. So that's it there. And then finally, last year, in the midst of chaos, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of all this shutdown, I realized not too long ago that there was a mountain outside of Anchorage called Suicide Peaks. And I was thinking, that is totally wrong. I mean, because we experience in this state that mountain in the mental, physical, and the spiritual. And so I wanted to take a team of people, believers, up to the top of that mountain to pray, to take communion, to declare the Lord's victory over that spirit over Alaska. I wanted to go up there and see that mountain removed. Be thou removed and cast into the sea. And in its place, I wanted to see and believing and praying for hope to rise up in its place. So as a result of that suicide awareness hike, it was pretty amazing. We had like 7 different commissioners from the state of Alaska. We had a lot of support on the, at least at the initial part of it. They didn't do the whole mountain with us. Only 12 of us went up the mountain. The Eskimo Ninja, Nick Hansen, went with me, one of the American Ninja Warriors, and another American Ninja Warrior, Jerry D'Ariel, went with us. And so anyway, as a result, there's a DVD and I wrote a book that's going to go into every school in Alaska. We're finishing up that last bit of the book, you know, the legal stuff that's required for that, but please pray that through. So finally, that's the update. Now let's get to the message here. It's only going to take 2 hours. No, I'm just kidding. Hope it's going to go quick. Okay, go ahead and we got some sound there. Bend that was the, you know, that was the fix. That was a song called Stand or Fall. But that is the message that I want to bring today to you, is stand or fall. You know, like Peter Marshall said, if you don't stand for something, you will fall for anything. Right? So we need to stand. Everyone shout, stand!
Yeah!
Woo! That's right, we need to stand. You know, and because falling's bad. You know, I figured that out on my own. Falling's bad. Most of the time, falling is bad, right? You know, we fall off the wagon, we fall off the cliff, we fall down. It's bad. You know, you fell for that trick, you sucker, you know, turkey, whatever, you know. It's like falling is bad. And it's synonymous with failing, right, most of the time. But there are a couple of things that you do want to fall for or fall in. Like fall in love, like, you know, with my bride, you know, with your spouse. You want to fall in love with your spouse or your future spouse over and over. We just celebrated our 30th anniversary, and it's important that I learn and she learned to fall. We learn to fall in love with each other, right? But also, this is crucial. Probably the most important thing is that we learn how to fall in love with Jesus. Yeah. We are called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength. Amen? So we need to fall for those things. There may be a couple of others. You can, you know, mention them to me later. Okay? Other than that, falling's bad. But I believe we need to stand, and we need to stand what we are convinced of, what we are convicted of. We stand for what we love, what we believe in, right? And it's a time for us to stand. Okay, so once again, shout stand!
Stand!
So over the past few weeks, you know, I've been learning just some different, and hearing different messages about standing. Standing for our marriage, standing as parents. And what I want to do is I want to just encourage you and try to teach you how to stand in wholeness. Okay, so we're going to go to Mark 2. I've been spending a lot of time with my aerospace engineering son, Rain. So that there's the Mark 2. Anyway, we're going to Mark 2. And I'm going to read. A few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people had heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left. Say, no room left.
No room left.
Not even on the outside of the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by four men. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it. Then they lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw them, saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now, the teachers of the law were sitting there thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like this?" Right? Who is this guy? Who do he think he is? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone? Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to the paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So then he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of all of them. This amazed everyone. And they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Now, if you continue reading in Mark 2, you'll find four different stories. Four stories. And the first one is the one that I just read to you. Jesus forgives and heals the paralytic man. Number two is Jesus calls Levi and eats with the sinners. Three, Jesus is questioned about fasting. And then four, Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. So, I want to come back to this first one here, and I'll probably spend most of the time with that, and I feel that it is timely, but sometimes Jesus heals us based on our faith for other people, right? So in that example, it said that Jesus saw the four men. He saw their faith. And they took this man to Jesus. I mean, they tore a hole in the roof and they dropped him right down there because they knew if they could just get Jesus, to, this man to Jesus, he would be healed. That's you. That's me. That's us. The question is, who do you have faith for? Who do you need to take to Jesus? What kind of barriers, what kind of roofs are you tearing holes in to get that person to Jesus? Okay. Sometimes Jesus heals others, like the centurion, which, you guys already went through that. And then, how Jesus heals the Romans, his daughter. And, it's like sometimes Jesus heals in that way. But sometimes it's our faith that we push through the crowds. And you guys read that today earlier, so I don't need to say that again. But so I just wanted you to remind you that Jesus heals. And he heals from the inside out. When Jesus heals this paralytic man, notice that he says, "Your sins are forgiven. Get up, take your mat, and walk." That's from the inside out. Okay? And that's probably the most important thing that we need to understand in this time, in this day of chaos and craziness. We need to know that. But in all four of those stories in Mark 2, we need to know that all four stories have the common theme, and this is the theme that Jesus has the ultimate authority. Say, ultimate authority. And Jesus heals from the inside out. In Mark 2:13-17, it says, "It is not the healthy who need the doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." So say, "Jesus makes me whole."
Jesus makes me whole.
Amen. Say that again. "Jesus makes me whole."
Jesus makes me whole.
So if you want to stand in wholeness, you need to know that Jesus makes you whole. But what is wholeness? Now here's the dictionary definition of wholeness. Okay, it's important. The state of forming a complete and harmonious whole, unity. Now for us in the church, that means like the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. That's like the bride, the groom, the church, Jesus, husband and wife. Those are examples to us of perfect unity. Should be, right? The other thing is wholeness is the state of being unbroken or undamaged. We're in trouble. Because I know you guys are a bunch of cracked pots, man. You guys are messed up, just like me. You know, we're messed up. We're incomplete. We're imperfect. We're selfish. We're empty, lustful, angry. Man, we are a messed up people. How many of you agree that we live in a messed up world? Okay. You don't have to raise your hand for saying you're a messed up person, but you know you are. No, I know I am. And what would I be without Jesus? But, I was thinking about this the other day, about how this messed up world is and how many messed up people and all these problems, COVID, BLM, you name it, man, there's all kinds of problems, and we are in this messed up world. And I thought, man, this messed up world we live in wouldn't be messed up if only Adam and Eve, see the problem that we have, this messed up world that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, right? And I was thinking, if only Adam and Eve were native. If only Adam and Eve were native, we wouldn't live in this messed up world. See, if Adam and Eve were native, they wouldn't have eaten the apple. They would have eaten the snake. Then they would have made moccasins out of them and they would have danced the healing song. I'm just saying. But seriously, man, we are living in a messed up world, but we want to see a healed world, right? And a healed world begins with a healed people. And that's why I feel it's necessary that we need to learn how to stand in wholeness, stand against the enemy, resist the wiles and the schemes of the enemy. And so that's, man, I know that, like I was saying earlier, it's that I can do nothing apart from God. I tried all kinds of other things. You, if you can imagine it, man, drugs, alcohol, pornography, man, I tried to act godly. I went to church, got baptized. I pretended to be good. I sat in a pew or a chair at church, just like many of you. And I thought, man, if I'm here, then I'm good. I smile and wave. I'm good, man. I got Jesus, I think. But, you know, I came to a point where I realized that just being religious and all those other things didn't fix my problems. And then, so it made me think of Matthew 23:25-29. And Jesus says to the Pharisees, you know, he says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they're full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will also be clean." And as I was driving down the road, you know, I saw this sign outside of a church. Can you pull that one up? So if you can advance the slides to, keep going right there. It says, First Christian Church, this church is not full of hypocrites. There's always room for one more, for more. yeah. Anyway, I just, I don't know how to get out of that. No, I do. Is that when we pretend, you know, we are hypocritical. And if we want to stand in wholeness, we need all of God. We need His help. And I want to go ahead and move to really I know it's the desire of our heart to do what's right. Whether you're a new Christian, even if you're not a Christian yet, or if you've been a Christian for years and years, there's a desire in you to do what's right, even to do what's godly. I don't think there's anyone here that says, you know, like, you know, teenagers, man, I want to be a horrible student. I want to be a horrible BFF, you know. I want to do all the bad posts. I don't think any of us want to say, I want to be a bad dad or a bad wife or a bad community member. I don't think that in our heart of hearts, that we say those things. I think we say, I want to do what's right. And sometimes we have this struggle to get there. Right? No matter where we're at, in Ecclesiastes, it says that God has set eternity in the hearts of some men. God has set eternity in the hearts of a few good men. You guys are not stopping me. A couple of you are shaking your head. No, it says that God, yeah, all, thank you. God has set eternity in the hearts of all men and women. Amen. And so if we want to be whole, we need to let Christ in. And so Jesus is knocking on the door of our heart. He knocks on the door of our heart. And then after we let him in, he wants to be let out. Okay. After he's in, he wants to be let out. It's not like Jesus comes in and says, man, this place stinks. This is awful. Let me out of here. No, it's more like, as you've heard the saying before, this quote from Bill Johnson. He says that Holy Spirit is held captive in the hearts of good Christian men and women. And do you know what he's always saying? See, when you let Christ in, he cleans us. He restores us. He makes all things beautiful. And so when he does that work, when we truly surrender and let him in to do that work, I mean, it's amazing. It's so awesome. We are a new creation in Christ. And if we are in Christ, and it's so awesome, then Jesus says, you know, he wants people to see this, you know. So that's why, you know, that quote, you know, because once he's in, people want to see how God, Jesus wants to see how God has restored you, redeemed you, renewed you, all that stuff. It's beautiful in you. I need you to say this. Say, God got exactly what he wanted, and he wanted me. Now turn to your neighbor and say, God got exactly what he wanted, and he wanted you. He wants you. He desires you. You are the object of his affection. He loves you no matter where you're at. The good, the bad, the ugly. Jesus loves you. Say, Jesus loves me. He does. We need that in our heart. And when and if you mess up, you need to know that the Father's arms are open to you. If you mess up, you run to the Father. And let him embrace you. Let him restore you. Let him love you back to life. Don't isolate yourself. Don't run away. That's bad. Run to him. He's not the bad, mad, angry God waiting to smack you silly when you mess up. He wants to use what the enemy meant for evil. He wants to turn it for his good. Amen. That's part of our testimony, and when we really get this. So, I want to move on to a couple of things, but there is just like a beauty. My favorite scripture, by the way, I think is Colossians 1:27. Colossians 1:27 says, "To them God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." Say, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I love how David Ruse sings this song. He says, and moves in me, he says, "The human mind can't comprehend, though the angels long to see, what the prophets knew as mystery. Yeah, he moves in me. Yeah, he lives in me." This was a mystery to the prophets. And what the angels couldn't experience, we get to experience. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Now, hopefully that will encourage you to run to the Father. Hopefully that will encourage you to stand. Okay, so once again, say stand.
Stand.
So I came up with this acrostic, okay, to help you to remember how to stand in wholeness. Okay, so F stands for surrender. Everyone say surrender. That is really key right there, surrendering to God. Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, in the view of God's mercies, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable to God. This is your reasonable act of worship. Okay? Surrender. Everyone say surrender.
Surrender.
So T is talk to God. Say talk to God.
Talk to God.
So that is praying, right? That is praying. We need to pray. We need to talk to God, and we need to talk to other believers, right? If you want to stand in wholeness, this is what I'm talking about, okay? Surrender. Talk to God. Pray. And once we know who He is, how He loves, we can have this confidence in 1 John 5:14. Says, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Yeah? So we want to talk to God. A stands for adoration. Everyone shout, adoration!
Adoration!
Man, you guys do that so beautifully. You magnify, you exalt, you worship the Lord so awesomely. If we're going to stand, we have to adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him, right? We need to worship Him. In fact, I really feel that this is probably the crux or the key of this whole message today about standing, is that we need to learn how to use worship as a weapon. Worship is our weapon against the enemy. We need to know, first of all, that as we worship, as it says in Psalm 22:3, that God lives in and inhabits the praises of His people. Man, you felt that this morning. I think that every time I've been here, you know, I know you get this worship thing. But don't slow down, don't back down, don't give up. You keep on lifting Him up. You keep exalting Him, because He shows up in the midst of that. And He changes everything. Worship. Worship. That's your weapon to destroy the enemy. And this is what I feel. And this is what I feel is a word of the Lord for you, for me, for this church at Bridge of Hope. In 2 Chronicles 20:21 through 2022. Catch that. 2021. Say 2021.
2021.
To 2022. In that scripture, King Jehoshaphat, he is surrounded by the Ammonites, by Mount Seir, by all the enemies. He and his army, they are dead. It looks bad. It looks very, very, very bad. They're going to die. You know, they're shaking each other's hands. Like, well, it's nice to know you, Bob. You know, hey, Joe, I'll see you on the other side. You know, well, you know, at least we have the Lord, right? But then the Lord says, if you read this scripture, let me read that for you, because you need to get this. This is so powerful. This is so key to learning how to stand in this time and in this season. Learning how to stand in the midst of chaos. Because this is what I feel like the Lord is saying about this scripture. If you learn how to use worship as a weapon in 2021, God will defeat your enemies. Whatever you're surrounded by, as you learn how to worship in 2021, you will see a victory. And you will carry that victory into 2022. I'm preaching to someone now. This is a word for someone. Man, this is a word for me. I am taking it. I'm there. But this is what it says. It says in 2021, this is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Verse 21, after consulting the people, Jehoshaphat appointed men to sing to the Lord and to praise Him for the splendor of His holiness. And they went out ahead of the army saying, give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, His love endures forever. I don't know what they were singing, but they were singing whatever it was. In key, out of key, man, God shows up, right? And as they began to sing praise, this is 22, right? As they began to sing praise, the Lord set ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, those that were trying to invade Judah. and they were defeated. This is the word of the Lord. I don't know if things are going to get worse around us in the world. But if you learn how to use worship, it's probably pretty easy to worship right here in this beautiful sanctuary, you know, with the beautiful sound system amongst your friends. But learn how to do it on your own. And all by yourself, driving down the road. And I go up to the mountain. And that's a lot of times, that's why I bring that drum, that's why I praise, that's why I worship. Because I'm not instructed to do it or just doing it as a responsibility or the honor it is to do it here. But it may be that I am worshiping so that God can defeat my enemies. Maybe I'm worshiping so that God can show up in the midst of my chaos and wrestle my thoughts back from the dark. Maybe I'm worshiping because I just need to. But I know that every time I do that, He shows up. He changes things. He defeats my enemies, or He directs my steps, or He gives me a different perspective. Okay, now I'll go back to that acrostic just to finish this off. S was for surrender. T was talk for God. A was adoration. N is for never look back. Say never look back.
Never look back.
Now you guys know what happened to Lot's wife. You don't want to look back, man. She was frozen in time forever, a pillar of salt, whatever it was, man. You know, she's probably still somewhere there in the Holy Land. They just haven't discovered her yet. They go, wow, there she is. She was like this, because she was looking back, right? Never look back. Once you surrender your life, once you start learning how to talk to God and talk to other believers, and don't look back, keep pressing forward to the prize, the high calling that's in Christ. Amen? And D stands for disciple. Everyone shout disciple. And we need to disciple. That is another key for standing in the Lord. It's the final one in this acrostic, but we need to share what the Lord has done in our lives, what He's doing in our lives. And we, as a part of, we need to not only disciple others, but we need to be willing to be disciples. And you cannot disciple without His Word. You cannot disciple without the Word of God. Thy Word. It's a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When your enemy is surrounding you, when you don't know what to do, read His Word. Let Him direct you. Sometimes it's only a little baby step, a simple decision. But as you do that, it's amazing. We need to, as we disciple others, man, and we need to share our stories. So I encourage you, as you gain victory, as you see the victory, as you gain victory in things, that you share that testimony with others. Man, if you have to call someone that doesn't live in this state, call someone and testify. Brag on Jesus, man, because the Bible says that the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And you want to prophesy to other people that are struggling? Man, you share your testimony. And that tells them, man, what Jesus did in me, He can do in you. Right? I share my testimony every time I do a school assembly. And it's not like I like, telling that old story, but I like telling the victory. You know, I like telling what God transformed me from, what He's doing in my life. So I highlight those things in the back, or don't highlight those things in the back, but I share the story from the back to show what God has done in my life. And it prophesies to the people that hear it. So many times, I'm not kidding. Every time I share my testimony in the villages in Alaska, I'll have students come and share it with me. They said, Bill, your story is my story. It's just like my story. the hurt, the brokenness, the abandonment, the abuse, all those things that I share in my story, they go, I can relate to that. But they go, yours might have been a little bit worse. I've had that happen. It's almost like that. But because you made it through, because you found people, say, we are the people. And Christ in you, you are the people. Because I found people that helped me in my worst time, that tore the hole in the roof, dropped me down before Jesus. And people were praying for me in the midst of my hurt, in the worst time of my life. They took me to Jesus because of their faith, because they knew who Jesus was. Jesus healed me from the inside out. So I get to tell that victory story of what Christ did in me, he can do in you. So it is time to stand, guys. But you know the most important part about all of this, as we close just our time together, I mean, I do feel like that adoration, that worship is key in this season. If you don't get anything else, use worship as a weapon in this season. And you will stand and see the salvation of the Lord. But that stand, let's go through the acrostic one more time here. S is surrender. Say surrender.
Surrender.
T is talk to God. Say talk to God.
Talk to God.
A is for adoration. Say adoration.
Adoration.
N, never look back.
Never look back.
D, disciple. All that's fine and dandy, but the most important thing is the very first thing. Surrender. Hey, Jonah, can you come offer a little bit of sound for me here, or somebody? Jonah has his hands full. It's okay. Guys, we're in a crucial place. In our homes, our families, in Alaska, in this nation, in this world, things are closing in on us, all sides. But you can find that joy in the midst of chaos. You can find hope that doesn't disappoint. You can find people that have faith for you. This church, man, Zach, and man, I love you guys, Jay. I mean, you know, you guys have faith for people. In the midst of all that's going on, man, you may be like I was, where I sat in the church and tried and tried and tried to be good. But I kept circling around with my struggles, whether they were addictions, whether they were challenges, whether they were thoughts, dark thoughts. I kept coming back and I felt like, man, this is not working. This religious thing is not working. It got so bad, I got kicked out of my house. I was in jeopardy of losing everything. And I shouted out to the Lord, you know. I was driving into Palmer one day, and this is early on in my Christian walk, many, many moons ago. And I was driving into Palmer, and the only radio station I could get was a Christian radio station. Man, I'm a drummer. I was like, I wanted to listen to prog rock, some Rush and Dream Theater, something with a lot of, you know. None of that was possible that day. It was only all the way from Anchorage to Palmer, Christian radio. But there was something in that word that started to break through, finally. I pulled over to the side of the road where it says, "Welcome to Palmer." That was my home. But I couldn't go home. It's right there, right outside my home. Almost there. And I was saying, Lord, he told me, he said this right before that. He said, Bill, you're going to die. You're going to die a physical and a spiritual death. If you keep going the way you're going, your decisions, your choices are going to take you to a physical death. But it's also, you're going to lose everything that you wanted, that you dreamed of, your family, your wife. But you're also going to die a spiritual death. And I was there at the side of the road, bawling like a baby, because I tried to do it on my own. I started listing the things that I tried. Lord, I played on the worship team. Lord, I served at church. Lord, I sat in the pew. I got baptized. Lord, I saw counselors. I saw psychologists. I did this. I did that. And I tried it all. And I give up. I shouted, I give up. And the Lord said, good. Good. And the presence of God came into that car. Just like it is here now. Just like it was when we were worshiping. Holy Spirit was just hovering. His presence was there. His eyes were upon me, just as His eyes are upon you, His sons and His daughters. And He's saying, will you really surrender? Because if you surrender, I will cause you to stand. I will cause you to rise. I will heal you, restore you, your dreams, your ambitions, and it's going to be better than you think, imagine, or dream. Guys, I truly became a new creation at that moment. I scared myself when I looked in the mirror the day after that, too, really. I'd look at myself and I'd be like, who the heck are you? the thoughts, the struggles washed away. And God did those things that He said He would do. It's like, Lord, if you only free me from the drugs, the alcohol, the addictions, all the pain and the hurt of the past, if you free me, I'll do anything. I'll even play drums in a country band. Now, hey. Yeah, for an Indian, that's a big statement. I mean, I played in a polka band, you know. You think that's bad? You know, Indian, long-haired Indian with lederhosen. That happened, too. But if I knew it was of you, Lord, whatever it is, I would do it. I'll share my story. I'll preach the gospel, whatever you want. I surrender. Right now, go ahead and just close your eyes. This is a safe place. This is a holy place. This is the sanctuary. The presence of God is here. No one is any better than anyone else in this room. But this is the right time. This is the right place to surrender. So what I'm going to challenge you with now, and it's not me, but I believe Holy Spirit is saying, now is the time to surrender. That you surrender all. I don't know what it is. Little, large in your mind. Whatever it is. God's got this. And you are needed in this day and in this age. And you are needed to stand in His presence. Needed to stand for what's good, godly, and right in this time. In the midst of darkness, you'll shine brightly. So as an act of surrender, Right now, I am calling you or challenging you to stand to your feet. Everyone all across this place right now, stand. Stand in the presence of the Lord. See His salvation. See Him come upon you with strength. See Him come upon you with peace. See Him give you all that's needed according to His riches and glory. Right now, God is giving it to you. As you surrender those things, as you surrender those thoughts, as you surrender those struggles, as you surrender the unknown, and you don't know what your future is or you have decisions to make, stand now and surrender and watch God guide you, strengthen you, bless you, provide for you. In Jesus' name. His ways are higher than our ways, amen? His thoughts are higher than ours. I want to tell you, I like you guys. I love you guys. I'm thankful for you. Thank you for standing. Because when I'm tempted to fall, and you are standing, you can lift me up. If I'm drifting, you can pull me back. This is what we are to each other. As iron sharpens iron, one shall sharpen another. Who do you have faith for? What friend? What family member? What community person? Neighbor? So, I have to work this in somehow. Because it's just so stinking cool. I think it is. Now, I'm a crazy hiker. I love to go to those high places and just pray for people. Pray for families. Cry out to the Lord. Worship, like as I mentioned earlier. But how many of you have heard of Gunsight Mountain before? Yeah? It's a cool mountain there if you're like driving up to Glen Allen and then you come back towards the valley, you know, and you see this big mountain and you can see the gun sight, you know, that the mountains kind of form. They dip down. And so for years I've wanted to go to that, right in the middle, smack dab in the middle of that thing, and pray for Alaskans, pray for Alaska. So I got to do that just last month. And so as I went up, you know, it's like I had my drum. This drum has been on many, many, you know, prayer journeys with me. But I had no beater, no stick. And I thought, you know, I told the man and my wife, you know, my beautiful wife, I told her before, you know, but it's like, before I went, it's like I could have grabbed another beater, but I just thought, you know, the Lord will provide. Now, if you're to look closely at that mountain, there are no trees up there on the top of that summit, on the top of that mountain, right smack dab in the middle, it's just shale. Nothing. And I really felt like it was Holy Spirit that just prompted me to say, the Lord will provide. So I got there, and I am not kidding. Now, it didn't come with the beater. I'm sorry. It didn't come with that part. But I found this stick, perfect size, as a beater for my drum. Right, I mean, it was like right in the middle of the gun sight, right? Smack dab in the middle. And I'm going, no way. There are no twigs. There is nothing but rock and this one stick. And the Lord started to speak to me about provision. The Lord will provide. Whatever your need is, He will provide. And this has just been a reminder of that. And it ties into that message. Please don't go away from today without knowing that He is for you, that He will provide for you, especially with what many of you have experienced in this season, you know, and you know, the current events. It's going to provide what you need. So, Father, I thank you so much for the awesome privilege to gather with friends, with fellow believers, to stand together. Lord, I pray that you do that, that you provide all that we need. As we've surrendered, as we've stood together, that you provide all that we need according to heaven, according to, Lord, whatever's in heaven, Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done here. Lord, provide for my friends, for their families, Lord, physically, provision, Lord, in every single way, bless them, provide in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you so much.
Thank you. So before you leave, I want to tell you a couple things. I'd like to receive an offering for Carry the Cure for Bill Pagran. This is what he does. He lives by faith, and the Lord continually provides, but he uses people like us to be able to sow into that ministry. And so I'm going to take this basket here, and there's a couple of ways you can give. akbridgeofhope.com, you can go on there. There's a link for giving, and then inside that there's a place you can click on that special speaker if you want to give via PayPal. You can give by check. If you write a check, just write it to Bridge of Hope, and whatever comes in, I'll send the check to Bill. You could put it in the blue boxes back there, but please earmark that it's for either special speaker or Bill or something that indicates what that's for. Our regular tithes and offerings, same thing. You can go online and do that. You can put them in the box, whichever. I'd prefer that you didn't put it in here, but if you accidentally do, that's fine. Second thing, there is a need for the Swavely family. We want to make sure we reach out to them. On our Facebook page and our website, there's a place where you can find out how to get involved, whether that's bring them a meal or things like that. And so I would direct you there. Otherwise, I think that's all I have to say for now. But what a word. I love that. Such a powerful, powerful word. And no matter where you are in your walk, no matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, I mean, it absolutely is right where I'm at. I mean, right where I'm at. And so, love that. So thankful for that. And so I want to sow into that. So I'm going to pray a blessing over this offering, over the ministry of Carry the Cure, and over Bill's family as well. And so, Father, thank you for the obedience of Bill Pagran, just not only traveling around Alaska and also all over, really, the world, carrying messages and hope and restoration and love. But, Lord, the obedience to step into this pulpit and share, especially during a time that could feel difficult. And so thank you for the timely word. Thank you, Lord. We receive it. We truly just are thankful for this ministry, and we want to honor that. We want to honor his family. We ask for protection over his family, protection over him. And I pray for increase this year. Where the enemy is trying to decrease, we say acceleration and increase in your ministry in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that he has not only surrendered his life, but his ministry, his family, and all of his things. And so we know that he is not only preaching this, but living this message. And so thank you for him. Bless us as we go. And I pray that this message would go deep into the core of who we are. We would live these out in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed. If you want to give, you can give down here. Bless you guys. Thank you so much.